So first and foremost, I always want to thank the Lord for what He's done in my life, just having the privilege and opportunity to be able to be used by Him to share His word, that all of us, the whole entire church, all of us would be encouraged. But also, I do have to thank Pastor Carlos and Pam and all of our elders for even entrusting me to even be up here. I remember in August, it'll be 4 years that I've been attending this church. And from day one that I walked in, Pastor Carlos just took me under his wing. He's like, you're like a son to me. He just believed in me. He supported me. So many times, I've used the word, I want to quit too many times in the last 5 years of walking with God. And He's like, I will not let you quit. I will not let you quit. I believe in you. And it's not just me, but He believes in you guys. He believes in this church. And I just thank God that we have the Lord Jesus here present in East River. But I do thank Him so much that we have the leaders and the pastors that He has placed here. So with that, I look up to that man so much. And as we open up in a word of prayer with the message, we'll pray for them in Haiti as well. But Pastor has entrusted me, and God has entrusted me to walk us through the book of Acts. We're going to go through a portion in Acts 5. And the title of the message that I have, the Lord put on my heart, is Our God of Wonders. Our God of Wonders. So I hope that we're awake. You guys fasten your seatbelts. We came here for a purpose. We came here for a reason. If we're a little tired, let's just wake up a little bit. So with that, I'll open us up in a word of prayer. Lord God, we do give You thanks and praise today. Father, we thank You so much that we have the privilege to be in Your house, to be in Your presence. I thank You, Lord, that we have the truth of You, that You are alive and well, and You are who You are. I thank You that You give us hope. I thank You, Lord, that by Your word we are strengthened, and we see life, Lord, in You and in Your word. God, we thank You for the pastors and leaders. We thank You for the people of this church. God, I pray a covering over all the pastors, Pastor Carlos, Pam, Tammy, Janice, all of them, Lord, that they would just truly, Lord, be used by You. And we thank You, God, that You have covered this church as they are gone as well. So with that said, Lord, would You please just speak to me and through me as You always do. For Your mighty purpose, Lord God, would You open up our minds to understand the Scriptures? Would You open up our hearts, Lord, to fully receive You? Always, God, would You get the credit and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm coming more and more to this point in my life that the reality of God is becoming more and more evident. And not only the reality of God, but really the reality and purpose of my life is becoming more and more evident. That you wake up and you realize that you're here for more than just to go to work. And it's starting to hit me a little more. And also, I'm starting to really see the need for God more in our world. The need for God more in our country. The need for God more in our cities, in our schools, in our churches, in our own life. And what I love about the Word of God, especially the book of Acts that we're going to be getting into, is that you do get to see the reality of God in the world. So often, we want to let the culture paint a picture of what the reality of God is. And do you know what their reality is? Let's take them out of the equation. But what I love in the book of Acts is that we see a world, people just like us, hurting people, in need of someone to come and help them and save them, encourage them and love them. And we see really the heart and character and the reality of who God is through His word. This is how we're going to get the real picture and idea of who God is. Not based off how we feel or what culture wants to say. And so this morning, what we're going to step into is in the reality and truth of who God is. And I pray that we would carry that out of our hearts and we would bring that reality now out into the world as God has called us to do. So with that, Acts 5 is where we'll be. Starting at verse 12 through 16. Reads this, and through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch, so a place where they just locally gathered. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. And believers were increasingly added. They were increasingly added because of these signs and wonders to the Lord. Thank you, God. Multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and they laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. So often, we look at strong biblical characters that God has chosen to highlight really for our purpose, and we say, I can't do that or I can't be like them. And in this context here, the apostles, these chosen people, I'll explain a little more, they're here, they're doing these signs and wonders that God is doing through them. And it says in verse 13 that none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. These are Christian people that believe in the same God, the multitudes that came to church. And they're saying, these guys are doing some stuff I don't think I can do. So I'm going to opt myself out. I'm just going to sit over here. Not saying they're not saved or nothing like that. But they're like, I'm not trying to do what they're doing. I feel like I can't. How often do we do that when we read the Bible? We get stirred up in faith. We say, that's amazing. I want to do that. But then our reality, not God's reality, starts to set in and we go, maybe I can't. Or maybe I'm not supposed to. Or maybe that's for somebody else. And we have a tendency to do so. But what I see clearly in the Bible and the truth that God has put in my heart that I want to share today, that He wants to share today, is that upon reception of the Holy Spirit, we are all empowered to do the works of God. Upon reception of the Holy Spirit, we are all empowered to do the works of God. And that's what we're going to look at today. Why does it say in verse 12 of Acts 5, and through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people? It says, through their hands. According to Acts 4:13, these men are uneducated, they're untrained. They're just normal people, fishermen. But the thing that was realized from them, the people that said they're uneducated, they're untrained, that they realize they've been with Jesus. So there is something special about them. I do not want to undermine who the apostles were. The apostles, apostle means one sent out. That's what it means. They were special people because they were the ones, the friends of Jesus, close to Jesus, right? The whole reason why we know about Jesus is because of the apostles. If we would not even know who Jesus accurately is and who he truly is, because a lot of people wrote about him, but why did God choose the ones in here to write about him? So we have the apostles, they're special people, but also they're just men. And I want to see that not only the apostles in the book of Acts were doing these amazing things. If you go to Acts 6, just turn over one page to Acts 6. You will see that the apostles, they do have this kind of calling. They have an office. It's like if God puts a missionary or a pastor or an evangelist, because Billy Graham's an amazing evangelist, can we not be bold and speak the gospel like Billy Graham? Let's just leave Billy Graham to do it because he did it all. No way. If that was the case, if God didn't want to use us, do you know who he would have used from the beginning and not use anybody else? Jesus. He would have said, watch me do all this stuff. Just watch me. Sit back and take notes and never use it. No. Why is he choosing different people? And why is he choosing us? But we see that they do have a calling. And with that blessing and calling, I'm telling you, comes a burden. You don't want to have like I want to do that and do this. You only want that if God wants you to have that, because there's going to be a burden that's going to come with it as well. And people normally don't see that burden, but it's all throughout Acts as well. But you see that the apostles, they had something they had to do. They're like, man, we need to stick to studying the scriptures. Even the apostles are still studying the scriptures. That gives me hope, right? Not only that, but they say, we need to pick some men to tend to the needs of the church. They pick these seven men. Two of the men in there are Stephen and Philip, not apostles. But look at the requirements for these men. They say in Acts 6, they're saying these men need to be of good reputation. In verse 3, Acts 6, 3, they need to be of good reputation, and they need to be full of the Holy Spirit. No, they need to be pastors. They need to be teachers. They need to be evangelists. They need to be hardcore missionaries. No, men of good reputation, of good standard, and they said they have to be full of the Holy Spirit. And then we see in Acts 6, 8, Stephen, full of faith and power, represents the Holy Spirit as well, did great wonders and signs among the people. And right before Stephen's about to get martyred and be killed, in Acts 7:55, it says, he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. That's crazy to me that he's even getting these visions and he gets to see Jesus right before he dies. In Acts 8, we even just see a part of Philip where it says that in Acts 8, starting at verse 7, for unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. Look at the verses right before. It was Philip who was the one that was doing these miracles in verse 6. So it's not just the apostles, right? And you may ask yourself, what does that mean? Well, look at Acts 2:22 as well. Acts 2:22, Peter speaking, this is what he says. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. Why didn't it say this is Jesus, Son of God? Why didn't Jesus just do these works? Why does it say that God did through Jesus? Through the hands of the apostles, through not only apostles but other people, and also through the hands of Jesus. This is the truth. It's not because of who they were, why they were able to do these wonders and these miracles and these signs, but because who was in them. Because of who was in them. And this gives us hope. All these different things. They were doing signs, miracles, wonders, supernatural, all these different things that it really pointed to God. All of it did. Just different things that whatever they would do, it wasn't with, like you see people, have you ever driven by places and you see like a psychic reader, you know, come get your palm read, or you see mediums or different people. Where does all the attention and focus go? It goes on that person. Ooh, they're doing some cool little things. No. These apostles are doing stuff beyond that, that are things that are genuine, that are loving, they're heartfelt, they're authentic. You don't feel icky as you're like, that's awkward, you know? Maybe you feel uncomfortable, but you know it's from God. And they're all doing these different things. They're all doing these different things, and it's all for God's purpose and glory. I want to know this, though, because not only is it through the apostles and is it through Jesus, but this is for us today. And this is why. If we go back to the book of Luke, right, we see where does this all stem from and where does this all come from. And Jesus himself, as he's water baptized, he starts his walk with God, he's water baptized, he receives the Holy Spirit upon him. Why is Jesus, the Son of God, going to receive the Holy Spirit? And now as he goes about the rest of his life, he is literally going about like being just confronted with all diseases, obstacles, every single thing you could possibly think of. And he's overcoming every single thing, temptations, all of that. And why isn't he doing that on his own strength? But he's doing it by the Holy Spirit in his life. I don't want to undermine who our God is because he did only what he could do. I understand that. And I don't want to undermine that the biggest miracle that is done in all of creation was that our God would come down as a man, he would die on that cross, and that by us putting our faith in him because of his life, death, and resurrection, that we would have eternal life. That's a miracle. God hearing our prayers is a miracle. You guys praying for someone or just, you know, if we pray against depression or we pray against these different things, all of us have prayed for healing in people's lives and they've been transformed. All that is a miracle, but I also know that they're doing these different things. they're amazing things. So with that said, we see that Jesus, he has the Holy Spirit, he goes about. I mean, you think about it. He is literally going about as we literally have God. We have God coming into the form of a man into the world. And he's anointed and he's empowered by the Holy Spirit in his life that he can even stop and say, I know why I have the Holy Spirit in me. Because I'm called to go out and set the captives free. I'm called to go out and make the deaf hear. I'm called to go out and make the blind see. I'm called to go out and make the crippled walk. I'm called to go out and make limbs grow. Not only that, but I'm called to also love people. I'm called to forgive people. I'm called to help people overcome that sin so they can be closer with God, that God would come down as Jesus and do so. And this is the biggest thing for me. Not only do we see Jesus doing that, like that's good for him, but then we also see in Luke 9 and Luke 10 that he starts to hand off his spirit and the power and authority to other people. As he comes around and he says, receive my spirit, receive this power, receive this authority. Why? Why is he giving that off? Why is he giving himself off? And the concept that we get, as we think about it, we think of the Holy Spirit as like a power or an it or a thing. When the Holy Spirit is, he is the person of God. He is. He's there back in the beginning in Genesis chapter 1, hovering over the face of the deep. We see the Holy Spirit working in the Old Testament, but we also see him in the New Testament in Acts 5. When Ananias and Sapphira lied to them, he says, why does Satan fill your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? The next verse he says, you didn't lie to men, you lied to God. He's equating the Holy Spirit to God. In the book of Hebrews, it says the Holy Spirit is eternal. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit knows the mind of God. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is God. He is God. He is God. So rather than us, we're saying, I don't want some funky power to do some things I don't know if I can do. God said, I'm not trying to give you some power. I'm trying to give you the power. I'm trying to give you myself, my person. That Jesus did not rely on his own strength to do these things, but he relied on the Holy Spirit himself. And then to get to a point in the book of the Gospels that he says, I want to now give you my spirit. He gives to the 12. He gives him to the 70. And he says, I want you to have the power, the ability to perform anything. I'm going to give you the authority to be able to exercise that power. And do you know why? If we look at it as well, in the Gospels and Acts, there was always, wherever there was deliverance or healing, there was always great joy in that city. How many times have we been struck and burdened with different things in our life, and then the moment that God heals us, we start praising God and giving joy to God? It feels a lot better for me to be filled with joy in the Lord than be down and depressed and upset all the time. I can't stand it. And so to see a people that are hurting, and even in our own hearts and lives, that God would step in and change that, who wouldn't want to do that? Who wouldn't want to have a heart for God that we can go out and do that for people in the name of Jesus, that we can point them to Him? So I don't know how this formula works of God, He just laying hands and says, receive my spirit. But I do know with all my heart and soul that God wants to give us His spirit, His person. And if you would ask why, well, why were we made in His image? Why did God make us in His image and not make us a bunch of blobs that just roll around all over the place? But why are we made in His image? Right? Why are we made to smell? Why are we made to see? Why are we made to hear? Why are we made to love? Why are we made to care? Why do we have a heart? I don't like the bad emotions, but I love the good emotions. Why are we made to think and feel and have a purpose in life? Because He made us that way. Why did He die for us after we all messed up? I have a lot of these why questions as well. I'm like, God, why would you want to give me your spirit? Why would you want to give me your person? Why would you want to do that for me? It's all out of His love. And God is clear that the same Holy Spirit that Jesus has is the same Holy Spirit that we have today. And I want to bring this home. If you look at Acts 2, what this means for us. And the reason why I camped on this so long, I really hope that we can get it, as I was sitting on our front porch today, and I was thinking, I was like, God, if I have you, Holy Spirit, in my life, the number one, that means with all my heart and soul, that the day that I die, I get to go home and be with you. If we don't have to fear death, what else more do we really have to fear in this life? Death is like the ultimate sting, the ultimate fear. I'm like, God, if I have you in my life as the Holy Spirit in my life, why could I not go out in your name and you through me do these miracles or preach boldly or be fearless or just preach or teach a right word to someone that need to hear something? It's like I'm not doing it on my own. How many of us in our walk, we feel alone? We feel alone. But Jesus makes it clear, the Holy Spirit, He says, I'm giving a helper, a comforter to you. I'm giving my spirit. He says, not only will He be with you, He'll be in you. I've heard professors say, oh, in you doesn't mean in you, right? How can an omnipresent spirit be in one location? I'm like, how can I pray to God and say, Lord, save my soul, and when I die, go to heaven? Explain that to me. If the Bible says it, He says it. The Holy Spirit's going to be in you. He will be in you. What fear would we be confronted with? What darkness or anything would we be confronted with, knowing that you have God in your life? Why would anything stop us? Let me ask this question. Can anything stop God? So if God is in you, can anything stop God in you? He that is greater in us is greater than him that is in the world. We have God in us. And this is why I wanted to camp here a little bit, and especially in Acts 2, if you look at verse 16 through 18. Acts 2, 16 through 18, Peter talks about this from the prophet Joel. And he says, it was spoken of by the prophet Joel, shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Say all with me. All flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. On my men servants, on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. He's like, those that you think are the lowest of low, I'm going to give my spirit to. Now, I'm not just withholding my spirit now to just the Jewish people or just certain people and kings in the Old Testament, but I'm giving my spirit. In Acts 2, 38 and 39, after the sermon, they say, Peter, what do we do now? Because you preach this truth. Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Free gift. Verse 39, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off. Say all with me again. All who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Then you see the rest of the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit falling on people groups and not just certain people. And therefore, God commissions us and says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, of all nations. This is the truth. When Jesus died on the cross, isn't it his will that all shall come to be saved? Will all be saved? Why not? Free will, they're not choosing. But can't we say that by Jesus' death on that cross and because of who he is, that he made salvation available to all? So we can look at this interpretation two ways. We can say the Holy Spirit needs to continually be poured on people, or we can say the Holy Spirit has already made himself available to be poured on everybody. And now what we need to do is we need to receive him if we want to be filled with the Spirit of God. And this is the distinction I need to make. From the moment that you believe in God, Ephesians 1:13 says that you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is your guarantee to salvation. You are sealed, you are marked. Even it says in Ephesians, even the darkness knows who you are. You are sealed, you're marked, you're covered, you're forgiven, you're redeemed. God is coming back for us. I'm not talking about if you're saved or not, if these things aren't happening in your life, if I'm like, I'm not seeing visions, I'm not prophesying, I'm not speaking in tongues, I'm not healing nobody, I don't even know how to pray. That doesn't mean that you're not saved, doesn't mean that you don't have the Holy Spirit of God, but why does the Bible make a distinction? It says you're sealed in Ephesians 1:13. Why does the Bible make a distinction of being filled with the Spirit of God? Why was Jesus filled with the Spirit of God? Why were the apostles, Stephen and Philip, filled with the Spirit of God? He's filling us with himself, filling us with his power, filling us with his authority to say, I have you right here in my life, and you have me in your life to go out and do these things for my purpose. So upon the reception of the Holy Spirit, we are all empowered to do the works of God. Now, what is the purpose of this? That we receive the Holy Spirit and do these things. We receive the Spirit of God for the glory of God. Look at Acts 5 where we're in. And at verse 14, it says, believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so much so that they would actually bring people from all over. It's like right now, in this moment, at this church, and I know people are going to catch wind that God is here and he's doing amazing things. The people from all the surrounding cities of Beaverton, Portland, we got Banks, Gaston, Forest Grove, and they all start bringing people here, not because we're cool people and we look good, but because God is here, right? And because God is here. And I do see that. And see, right now, our flesh says that's not a reality. But the Bible and the Spirit within us says that's a reality. That is a reality, and it will happen. We see it in the Word. We want to see it here. And they start bringing all these different people because of the sign and these wonders and these different things that only God can do, and it's genuine, it's authentic, maybe it's uncomfortable, it's not weird, it's not demonic, it's not like, I don't want any of that, that's not God. When we continue to read the Bible, man, God starts to reveal some stuff about his character. I need help to understand. I need help to understand. I have a story because I remember I was like, Lord, I don't know, do you still kind of do these different things today? How do you work in our lives? How many of us have God has answered prayer, right? Okay, God has answered prayer. Thank you, Jesus. That's a miracle, okay? God has given us words to encourage people. Thank you for that. God, you know, has gifted us with gifts of the Holy Spirit. We recognize that in our life. But also, there was something that was on my heart. I was like, God, are you still working this way? Because how many of us, when we come to know God, the more we walk with him, we start to question, like, God, is this really who you are? Are you really who you say you are? I didn't sign up for this. I had a different picture of you. You know, everything's going to be happy and joyful. And this is rough. But then really, the Lord reminded me when I was a kid, I was 6 years old, and I had 104-degree fever. 104-degree fever. My mom's freaking out. She gets like a cold rag, just like ice cube rag, and then she comes and puts it on my head, and immediately turns hot, immediately. So Daniel, we just kept praying. She goes, we're going to take you to the hospital. I'm scared, but I'm going to keep praying on the way. So she closes the door. I have my back turned, laying on the bed. All of a sudden, the room just lights up. Like, it's just bright. I'm like, Mom, turn the light off. I have a headache. Turn the light off. No answer. I'm like, Mom, seriously, turn the light off. Like, you know, now I'm getting mad. I'm 6 years old. A little attitude. Mom, turn the light off, right? It's hurting my head. I'm like, Mom, I turn over, and my eyes hit the ground first. God is my witness. I'm not even lying. All I saw was, like, a white robe. That's all I could see was a white robe. Everything's just fluorescent and just bright. My eyes can only get up to the knees before I scream like a little girl. I was like, ah, you know, all scared because I don't know what just happened. And my mom busts in the door. She's like, what happened? And you know, the person I believe was an angel standing behind the door my mom opened went away. My mom comes and checks my head. She's like, you're hallucinating or something. And I'm like, I don't know what's happening. And she checks my temperature, 98.6. 98.6. And God reminded me of that story. And just like Pastor Spory said, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But so often, as we continue to walk with God and we get pressed with the culture, we start to let culture, our circumstances, even the enemy, our own flesh say, this isn't reality. Saying, this isn't reality at all. And that's how we start to get. My mom, that was all for God's glory, because you know that encouraged her. You know she didn't do it. She knew it was God. Only me, her, and God knew that, and now you guys know. So I'll use the question I'm going to get to here. All of us, upon reception of the person of the Holy Spirit, we know what that means to our lives. We're all empowered to do the works of God. We receive the Spirit of God for the glory of God. But now that we know that truth, and we know it's because of God, because he's the only one that can do it, my question is, what now? What are we going to do with that truth, and what now? And just because we have the Holy Spirit, we also need to have faith. We need to live in faith and not in fear. If you look at Acts 5, it says that they were hoping Peter's shadow passing by would touch him and heal him. That's pretty powerful. Because Peter was so great, or was it because the Spirit of God is so powerful in his life? Because the Spirit of God is so powerful in his life. And not only that, but in different references of Luke, in Luke 7, it says that actually that Jesus, and I'll just read this one for you, Luke 6:19, says that all these people came to Jesus, and the whole multitude sought to touch him, for power went out from him and healed them all. Have you guys ever read that verse before? First time I read it was last week. Power came out from him. And then also in Luke 8, with the woman that had a blood flow for 12 years, Luke 8, starting at 43, it says, a woman having a blood flow for 12 years who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment, the hem of his garment, and immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, Master, the multitude throng and press you. What do you mean who touched you? Everyone's touching you. Verse 46, but Jesus said, somebody touched me, for I perceive power going out from me. Power going out from me. The reason why I even say this is because we need to realize that it's not on us. And we don't need to get all crazy and start like, you know, running like celebrities and just smacking people in the face and receive the power. You know, it's not like that. You know, just everything I touch, you know, it's not like that. But we need to understand if God is asking us to do something, that he is in us to do that work. Can you imagine that? That's amazing to me. And so this the last story here, if you guys can bear with me, this last story here is that we've all had these moments of faith and everything we just talked about. I know we know this. I know we've heard it. I know we believe it. But we also still need to have faith with it. And this is why. Because I was at a client's house cleaning carpets a few months ago. And everyone, I believe the gifts are available for everyone, right? But I believe not everyone's going to have all the gifts. Because if one person had all the gifts and there'd be no need for anybody else, you'd be your own church, right? You'd be your own spirit-filled person. I believe the gifts are all available to everybody, but God does individually give us different gifts to be used for his purpose and glory. So there's different gifts that I believe that by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, we can still do what God asks us to do in a given moment. If God says, go heal this person. Ooh, I don't have the gift of healing. What? But you have the Spirit of God in your life. You know what I mean? Who is it? Is it because of the gift of healing? Or is it because of the gift giver? Okay? So don't let that hinder you of like, well, if we see certain gifts in our life that we practice and function in, well, I'm not a pastor. Doesn't mean you can't preach. Doesn't mean you can't share the word of God. Coworker comes and says, tell me about Jesus. I'm not an ordained pastor, though. Can't talk to you. What? Doesn't make any sense. No, it's because of different gifts in the church. So with this, God's been stirring up the healing ministry on my heart, and it's kind of scary. So been stirring that up in my heart. I was in a client's house, and we go to this house, and there's a guy there. We've tried to talk to this client before about God. They didn't want nothing to do with him. So there's a guy there, and he's sitting there, and I'm just like, I've never seen him before. So I'm like, hey, how's it going? Who are you? And asking his name, and he's just being cool. And then I remember I'm vacuuming everything, and he stands up, and as he walks to the backyard to smoke a cigarette, then his legs are like deformed and crippled, so he's having a hard time walking. And he's like struggling to get his leg over my vacuum line. And all of a sudden, I hear the Lord say, heal him. I was like, no. Like, and this is the first time in my life I ever heard that. And I'm like, no. But I'm like, all right, yes. No. All right, yes. All right, let's go. My boss is there. Everyone's there. So I'm like, all right, Lord, like, you got to make it possible. This is going to happen, all right? If this is from you, okay. So the people from the house leave. My boss is a Christian, you know, Chris Sutton from here. Everyone leaves, just me and this guy. I start awkwardly just asking him a bunch of questions about his life, what his favorite color is, all this different stuff. And he's just like, what? Times where I'm vacuuming, I'm like staring at him. He's like, I'm like, oh, sorry. Like, I'm freaked out because I'm not supposed to do something. And I really had the right intention behind it, but I was scared. And I'll make the long story short. I was there for that house like 4 hours and I did not pray for him, not once. I didn't pray for him. And I felt my faith start to dwindle lower and lower and lower until the point that we actually, I see that family that lives there, they came back. What made it worse, I was like, you live here? No, I don't even live here. I'm just house sitting for the weekend. I was like, oh my gosh, this is like a divine appointment, seriously. I'm like, all right. But then everyone, they come back, but then I see them leave again. And so I tell my boss, like, hey, we're done. I'm like, boss, I'm going to go back. I got to use the bathroom. And I'll never forget what he said. He goes, no, your time's up. I was like, what do you mean? He's like, they all left. I'm like, even the guy? Like, they all left. And he didn't know what was happening. And I missed that opportunity. And I beat myself up for a long time about it. And I was like, all right, Lord, I won't let that happen again. Well, just about a week and a half ago, as I was getting ready for this message, I'm reading through Luke and the different things that Jesus is doing, all the miracles, casting out demons, healing people everywhere. And one miracle that he does is a guy has a withered hand, and he says, stretch out your hand. And he stretches out, and immediately his hand grew as whole as the other one. I was just reading that the day before. So the next day, I'm at Sonia's school, and all the people around there, and I tell her I'm all getting fired up, you know, reading the Word of God. I was like, I'm going to stand on this table. I'm going to start preaching. She's like, Daniel, please don't. Like, don't do that. I love God before you even knew God. But just chill, please. That's going to be too much. I was like, all right, for you, I'll calm down, right? But no, God wasn't stirring that in my heart. I was just getting crazy. But so then I'm looking around, and in all seriousness, I look, and I see this person. The first thing I see is a hand. I see a hand with the fingers are gone. It's a deformed hand. And I look, and then there's obviously a person to that hand, and then there's a group of people. And then I start feeling the stir in my heart. Go and heal her and watch her hand go back. What do you think I did? I said, no, God, no. No, 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 no. I'm not going to do it. I didn't tell Sonia. And I was like, all right, faith walk. Let's go around the school. I walked around that school for a solid like 2 hours. I didn't pray for her at all. And I also saw her get up and leave. I'm texting Sonia like, what do I do? What do I do? She's like, I don't know, pray for her. You know, she's like, I don't know. And it really did hit me that I didn't pray for that man. I didn't pray for her at all. And I know with all my heart and soul that I have the Holy Spirit of God. I know that I know God. I've been through hell. I've been through a lot of different things. I know that he's in my life. But in that moment, I didn't have faith that God was going to do that work through me. I didn't have faith. This is literally just like a week and a half ago. And so the Lord asked me this question that we see actually in Acts 5:3. He says, why'd you let Satan fill your heart with doubt? And as I was in tears, I responded back, I'm like, I don't know. I really don't know. And then he said to me out of Luke 8:50, because God always speaks to me through scripture, he said, Daniel, he said, do not fear, only believe. Only believe. Because in that moment, I was stepping into heavenly reality that I had this picture in the Spirit of God. It's almost like the Lord just kind of like, one of those outer body experiences, saw me walking up and praying for this girl in front of people, her hand growing whole, and everyone around her seeing that and saying, who did that? I say, it's God. And there's just an uproar, and there's a revival, and the people are praising God. That was the heavenly reality. Do you know what I thought my reality was? It's not going to happen. And what I'm trying to get to today, what I'm trying to get to in the very, very end, is that this is where our reality is going to be. And if we see clearly in the Bible that the apostles and Jesus doing these amazing works by the person of the Holy Spirit, and God is saying, do you know what? My Holy Spirit is available for all of you to have. Not talking about sealed as redemption, but to be filled, to be bold. When the apostles prayed for boldness, God gave them the Spirit. Why? Boldness, courageous, fearless. How many of you have been scared to talk to a coworker about God? Okay, how many of you have been scared to talk to your family about God? How many people here has God asked you to do something you didn't do it? And what God asked me, he says, if you have my Spirit in you, which we do, then what is stopping you from doing these things? What is stopping us from doing these things? So why is the Holy Spirit such an important truth? Because truly when the Spirit of God moves, it shows that God is near and he is true. It shows that we're not just talking about him, but God is actually backing up what he says. And so with that, what I want to have, if the ministry team can please come up here as we close. I thank you guys for bearing with me. I know I went a little long. But there's just a reality for me that I want to live in the heavenly reality. I want to live in the biblical reality. And I can't wait for that day that I can fully live in that. We will not be perfect. I'm not saying that, you know, you're filled with the Spirit, you're perfect. Even the apostles, everyone, they still struggled. But there is a verse that I want to share because we do need the Spirit of God in our lives. We need the filling of His Spirit. Always. And it says, Psalm 143:10, he says, teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Your spirit is good. God's not going to give us something that's going to harm us or freak us out and make us uncomfortable. But he said, I'm giving you myself. My spirit is good. And in Luke 11:13, it says, your heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. To those who ask him. How do you think you already overcome the temptation for sin in your life? Do you know who's doing that work in you? The Spirit of God. How do you know that you're saved and that there's affirmation in your heart that you're a child of God? The Spirit of God. Why do you even come to church? Why did you get baptized? Do you know who led you? The Spirit of God. He's already working in our lives. Now all he wants to do is work in a greater way. And by working in that greater way, he's saying, I want people to see me. I want people to know me. Our culture is becoming so numb to the idea of God that it saddens me. It saddens me that they seriously are just being like, no, God, God, you're not even real. People are running their mouth on God. I'm like, you're talking about my family right now. Lord, what do you want me to do in your name so people will stop blaspheming you and talking crap and nonsense on your name and saying that I'm twisted and that I'm wrong and there is no healer and their magic or voodoo or different things are stronger than my God. God, what am I supposed to do? And it says, Daniel, receive my spirit and have faith that I'm going to work and move in your life. And I promise you in my name that I will get the glory for this and people will come to know your God. And I want to use you to do it. And today is the last day that I want to hinder my King, my Savior, my friend, my love from using me because of my fears and my insecurities. He gave his spirit to his son, his apostles. He has given the person of his spirit to us. Not for me. Pastor says, you love to eat breakfast. What does that mean? He's like, you just like to sit there and read your Bible and have your coffee, but you realize you got to put your boots on and you got to go out and work, man. There's things to be done because it's comfortable to eat breakfast and just read the word in my own home. It's uncomfortable to go out and live it, but God's saying you can live it because I've given you my spirit and he's already living that and doing that in your life. That's the purpose. So with that understanding, I pray God to give you more of the understanding. I just ask, I'm not talking about salvation, but if you haven't been saved, I pray that you would come up here and ask the Lord into your life and ask to freely receive the Spirit of God and watch him move. How do you know that you're saved? Because you saw God work and move in your life after. I felt nothing when I gave my life to God. But I saw my desires change. I saw my heart change. I saw my actions change. And it all goes back because he did that change in me. Same way we see the Spirit of God work in our life through gifts, through his power, through the boldness, through the courageousness. That's how you'll know. But we won't know until we ask. And once we receive, all credit goes to him. Watch what he does in your life. Watch what he does in your life. I'm right there with you. And I need prayer as well. So with that, if we can all stand up to sing and worship. And for those who are feeling led, would you come up to the ministry team and ask to receive the filling and the empowerment and just receive the fullness of God in your life.